Good evening, everybody. Ves Chanan is a beautiful time of year. It's a beautiful parsha, loaded with the Shema, the Sarsa Divros, and of course, Shabbos Nachamu. So in the Shema, we know we conclude the paragraph of Shema Ve'ahavta with Ukshartam Elos Ha'idecha Vayitlu Tots Be'enecha. Ukshartam Al Mezuzos B'zecha V'sharecha. So we have Tefillin, you have Mezuzah in those Pshukim, these mitzvos. So I thought it would be appropriate to learn a little bit more about the mitzvah of Tefillin this evening, and specifically connect it to Shabbos Nachamu. So that's going to be our goal. So we'll start with the Torah. Obviously, the Torah says in this week's Parsha, Ukshartem le'os ayyadecha, v'ayyadecha tefos b'nenecha. So how many mitzvahs out of 613 is the mitzvah of Tefillin? So you could either count it as one or two. Oh, so there is a famous ongoing running machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about how to count, let's say, the Korban Tamid. Rambam is one, Ramban is two. What about Shema? So, right, the Ramban is two, Rambam is one, Ramban is two. Right? So when you have like this, like running machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about, in the Minyan HaMitzvos, about how to count, and often the Rambam will say, it's just one. But here, the Rambam himself counts it as two. We assume that the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh are two different parts of a mitzvah, and therefore they are actually counted as two separate mitzvahs. Even though, let's say, the lulav has four minim in it, right? Or, you know, they're different parts, but it's only one mitzvah. In contrast, we're going to argue that in the minyan mitzvos, tefillin is counted as two distinct mitzvos. So mitzvah yud beis, the Rambam counts as to put tefillin al rosh, and in mitzvah yud gimel, he writes, it's a mitzvah to put the tefillin on your yad. Now, that's very logical. If you're the Ramban, that's exactly consistent. What will you always do? You have different mitzvos, and they're counted separately. But this is not the Rambam. And believe it or not, the Rambam knows it's not the Rambam. And in the Sefer HaMitzvos, do you know what the Rambam does? He goes out of his way to explain why he counts them as two. He's like apologetic, because he's basically saying, I know you're going to ask on me. I always count these things as one mitzvah, the Korban Tamid, is brought twice a day, but it's only one mitzvah. Shema is recited in the morning and evening, but it's only one mitzvah, so why would I count tefillin as two distinct mitzvahs? He says, don't worry, I've already thought about this. And it's because there's an explicit Gemara in Shas, Mizrachas Mandalim and Aleph, which says very clearly that if you only have either the tefillin shel yad or the tefillin shel rosh, they're not ma'akev one another, you would do as best as you can. So if, so hypothetically, someone only had one of the two, we don't say, well, it's all or nothing. No, we specifically say one is good and the other is good, and they're independent of one another, even though they're very related. And the Lashon of the Gemara is as follows. It's the third source, if you want to follow there, but it says, Man deleis leishtei mitzvos, chad mitzvah loli avid. Meaning the person doesn't have two mitzvos, but he shouldn't at least do one mitzvah. So what was the language of that Gemara? If you don't have two mitzvos, i.e., the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, if you can't do both mitzvos, at least you should do one of the mitzvos. So says the Rambam, black on white in Shas, the Gemara ascribes the term mitzvah to the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. There it is. So he says, he's baruch shekaro letefillin shel yad v'shel rosh, shtei mitzvos. Black on white in Shas, again, the line was, Man deleis leishtei mitzvos. If you can't do both of the mitzvos, at least you should do one of the mitzvos. So, ultimately, very simply, there are two mitzvos in the Torah, the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. If you're counting the 613, it takes up not only one of the 613, but two of the 613. That's all background, not as practical. But let's try to get practical. And again, we're going to speak about Shabbos Nachamu in conclusion. But what we have to speak first about is a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe that we often find ourselves in Shomrei Torah kind of grappling within the winter months, and we'll connect Hilchos Avelos with Hilchos Tefillin, and Hilchos Avelos will take us to Shabbos Nachamu, because the Hilchos Avelos will overlap with Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Oh, sorry.
Does anybody say that Tefillin is one mitzvah?
I think so.
Okay, because you could learn the Gemara like this. The pasuk says, "Ukshatam liyosa yodecha, v'hilo tartavos b'inecha." So it's really, it says, "Tu tzivuyin."
Yeah.
Two parts that do this. That tzibu means the imperative. Do this, but it's one mitzvah, tefillin. So it's saying, if you can't be Mekayim, both tzibuyim, both parts that are commanded to do in this mitzvah, do one of the commandments, but it's still one mitzvah, tefillin. You could learn it that way also.
If you can't do both mitzvahs,
both,
then
both parts. No.
But you might have seen, you read both mitzvahs as both
tziva means parts. Two clauses that are imperative, that are saying do. That's the
I hear
it's
you.
It's not saying that in the terms of it's a mitzvah. It's a commandment to do, but it's still one mitzvah's filling.
I like what you're saying, AB. I totally hear what you're saying. I do think I'm looking right now. So alatorah.org has one of the Mefarshim on the Torah, in addition to all the classical Rishonim like the Rashi and the Ramban, the Sforno, the Rechaim, Kliyak, or whatever, all the Mefarshim of Torah. So they have the Moneh HaMitzvos. It's a wonderful resource, alatorah.org. And if you look at the Moneh HaMitzvos, so Tefillin and the Bahag is called Mitzvos Asei Beis. If I click on the Bahag, it's just called Tefillin. So I'd have to really look at more, but like the Urayim also, he says, nah, it's not so clear. I didn't look at the besides the Rambam and the Ramban, so let's say the Smach, Tzivah Mitzvah Ketana, right? So he says there's one mitzvah called Likshor Tefillin. So I don't know if he would.
That has two operations.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if everyone would agree that it is. Right. Meaning, the Rambam, the Smag, and the Sefer Achinuch are all in that, two mitzvah camp. But you are right. Seemingly, there are others who might count it as one, namely the Bahag, the Urim, and the Smach. But we'd have to really learn those a little bit more intensely. I don't know how to learn those. It's less. But it's a very fair point, A.B., that it could be that there are other Rishonim that don't count as two. Okay, point well taken. Yes, oh yeah, it's always a question. Yes, so sometimes when it comes to the onesh, right, when it comes to the punishment, there's an afkamina, right, very good. To the azhara, right, to the warning, yeah, so how you get punished. So it's more of just backwards for this. Okay, all right. So let's learn a little bit about Hilchos Tefillin, because we assume that when Rachman al-Assam, someone loses a relative, so they do not need to wear Tefillin. Like, Mamoid Katan, Chava Aleph, Amna Aleph, has a discussion, it's a machlokes tanaim, as to when a person starts wearing tefillin again during their 7 days of avelah. So the first opinion in the Gemara is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is starting from day 3. So an avel for 3 days, he cannot put his tefillin on, and from the 3rd day and onward, he's allowed to wear his tefillin. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says, no, only the first 2 days. And Avel Shnei Yamim HaRishonim Asun HaTefillin, i.e. starting on the 2nd day, he can start to wear his tefillin again. So whenever we speak about Hilchos Avelos, we assume Miktzas Hayom Kekulo, a little bit of the day counts as the whole day, which means that even though it's quote-unquote usher, forbidden to wear your tefillin on the 2nd day of Avelos, all that means is just a little bit of the 2nd day, but you can then put it on a little bit further on into the day. So anytime after sunrise. So how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch's psak is Avel Aser Lehaniach Tefillin Beyom Rishon. So Rachman al-Azlan, imagine someone loses a relative on a Sunday, and the person is buried that Sunday. So he is now in the 1st day of Avelos on a Sunday. He goes home to sit Shiva, right? The burial took place early on in the day. He's not sitting Shiva. He does not put on Tefillin after the burial. He only puts on Tefillin when? On Monday. When on Monday? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Va'achar shehaneitz hachama b'yom sheni mutar lehanicham. Meaning, what was the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch? It's a very, very deceptive lie. The 2nd day of his avelus, so Monday morning, he could put them on when? After the sunrise. Why is that a chiddush? The sun rises early, but there are halachic parts of the day before the sunrise. Namely, we assume that you can put on your tefillin before sunrise. Totally ideal. The ideal time to put your tefillin on every morning is a halachic time that takes place before sunrise. Sunrise is the ideal time to say Shemona Esrei. That's an etzachama, it's beautiful. What happens the earliest thing on the daily calendar is Amud HaShachar dawn. The next thing on the daily calendar is what's called Misha Yaker, when you can recognize someone you're familiar with from 4 amos away. So that is the time to put on your talis and tefillin. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say that on Monday morning, this guy waits until sunrise to put his tefillin on? So the Shach points out is that some people disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. Some people disagree that if someone is an avelus on the 1st day, starting immediately on Monday morning, he could put his tefillin on when? Even before sunrise, i.e. what's called the halachic Misha Yakir. So why would the Shulchan Aruch tell you to wait for sunrise? So anyone want to say, why would the Shulchan Aruch tell you to wait for sunrise? What's he basically saying? That you're not really out of where you're tefillin until what? Until a little bit of the second day of Avelos sets in, namely Miktas Hayom Kukulo. That's how my Rebbe and Smicha explained the Shach, i.e., you know, Rebbe Baruch Simon. So you pointed out that, no, remember, what did the Gemara say? That you can start wearing your tefillin already starting on the second day, but the second day needs to settle in a little bit. So if someone wants to put on their tefillin on the second day of Avelos, we don't tell them to do it before sunrise, we wait till sunrise. Again, practically speaking, does this come up? I guess if you have a shiva house in the winter months at like 6:30, so you want to wait till sunrise, i.e. if you have someone sitting shiva in Avil, and if there's a vasikin minyan at an Avil's house, you got to wait till, you know, that would kind of lead this Avil to be put in an awkward situation. Yeah.
When my mother was mikvah.
Okay.
My father was mikvah. It was during the day storm. My mother was already at night.
Okay.
During the day when I came back, they wanted me to chassid it because I come from a chassid family. They wanted me to put on tefillin.
And I said,
no, I learned have to wait until tomorrow. Chassidim, I put it on.
Is that the same day?
Same day.
But then that's the end of the death, though.
No, not Yom HaMisi. Yeah.
Yom HaMisi, put it on without a bracha.
Oh, sorry. So the sheet of the Mahari Tats. We don't pass like this, at least in our world, if I'm not mistaken, is as follows. That the whole concept of a velus only exists on a D'oraisa level if the Misa happens on the same day as the Kavura. So only then would you not put on your tefillin. But assuming a person, let's say, dies on Sunday and is not buried until Monday, the Mahari Tats would say, well, your velus on Monday is not on D'oraisa, so therefore you should put your tefillin on because it's not a Din D'oraisa anymore, that day of Avelos. So, but we don't paskin like the Mahari Tats. The Dagum Mervava, in Oda Behuda, says that we don't paskin like the Mahari Tats. That is the shita of the Mahari Tats. I'm not saying that we...
Rabbi
Yudin told you, Dr. Karp, to put on your tefillin after you were the first day, the Yom HaKvura, without a bracha. Without a bracha. So that's what we tell people to do, to put on tefillin without a bracha.
I thought they don't paskin like that altogether.
That's what I thought also.
They're chassidim, so they.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess the different minhagim, but I'm not surprised to hear that Rabbi Yudin told you to put your tefillin without a bracha. And I'm not surprised to hear that the chassidim told you to make it with a bracha.
Yeah, that's what they said with the bracha.
Well, that's Mama Shita of the Mahari Tats. The Shita of the Mahari Tats is tell you without the tefillin. If I'm not mistaken. But you know, often when we're not sure what to do, you put in tefillin without a bracha. What do you have to lose? So I'd have to kind of figure out what the mainstream. All right. Let's, again, obviously, everyone has whom to rely on in this situation. And at this point, I'm not familiar really with Menhagim yet of Avelos. You know, I have some notes from Smicha. That's really what I'm quoting for you right now. But I don't really know so much about, like, what actually goes down. So maybe I spoke too soon. I don't know maybe how we paskin practically. But when Rav Simon taught it to us, it sounded
it's
like we don't paskin.
I looked it up. It's a piste chuba.
Yeah, okay. So he says that's the middle ground, you think, to put on without a bracha. Okay. Good. Oh, basically, you have whom to rely on whatever you do in these situations. All right. So, the Shulchan Aruch. So, it should be noted, I guess, that in passing, we just pointed out that the earliest time to put your tefillin on every morning is before sunrise. So, let's go Misha Yakir. Now, what about before Misha Yakir? That's not a thing. So, this comes...
The rush. I've looked, it's
the rush. The rush. Yeah, good.
Quote by the Ramah.
Okay. All right. All right. So now, we assume. That's a great question. So let me give you an example. So Robert wants to know, let's say, what is the actual, how long before, so I think it's 50 minutes. So 50 minutes, 5-0. So this morning, 4:43 was earliest talis and tefillin, and 5:42 was sunrise. Now, again, some people tell you 40, some people tell you 50. I think mainstream, this is myismanam.com, right? Mainstream, I think we assume 50 minutes, okay? Adam, you're...
We passed it like Rav Henkin, you said 60 minutes.
We is a strong word, mister.
Okay. Initial, because I've been through, I've been through this.
Yeah.
It's about 60 minutes before mates. That's from
right.
Right.
Okay. So I'm not saying I'm automatically.
Yeah.
All right, so let's. All right,
it's 11 degrees below.
Yeah, all right. Robert, you're the man. You asked a good question. My understanding is that most people, you know, ironically, not some of the people at this table, but most people in the world would tell you, I think 5-0. I think that's the mainstream talk. But listen, we don't need to be apologetic. You know, Dr. Karp is always well rooted. And as a scummer from Rabbi Yudin, Fox News, and all the leading posts can will recommend Dr. Karp, and it's a beautiful thing. But you know what you asked me, my answer should be minutes. Okay, yeah, moving on. So this leads to a controversial thing that happened in this very room, and that has been going on in this room for the past decades, where in the winter months. So let's play it. Let's assume for a second that it was. Let's say January. What's going to happen on January, 14th of 2022? Let's assume for a second that now look at this. Yeah. So earliest Alvin's villains is 6:25, right? Very good. That's a good call. Oh, so because you think it's at 6:20. So yeah. So you're going to think it's at 6:15 that day. 6:09. Oh wow, you're mounted on because sunrise that morning is 7:19, and you think it's that was pretty crazy that you got that right. That was.
Because I wanted to make the signs too, so.
Adam is a little bit like too smart right now, but ultimately, most people will tell you that on January 14th of 2022, the earliest time you could put on your talis and your tefillin is 6:25. Now we have a 6:30 minyan, and that's good. That actually works really well. But if you fast forward either a week or go behind the week, you're gonna get into these sticky issues. Where your minyan starts before you could put your tefillin on. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very often quoted tshuva, where he understood that Americans needed to get to work on time. And he didn't want people not wearing tefillin. So you know what he told people? He was responding to his son-in-law, Rav Tendler, Shlita, you know, Rav Moshe David Tendler. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that, you know what, I understand that people are going to have to put their tefillin on before the Zman. So he says, I don't want people davening without talis and tefillin on. So he encouraged people to put on their tefillin and their talis, even though it was too early. Oh, so seemingly, again, that's where the rush comes in, where no bracha versus a bracha. He says, avalo yivarchu, don't make a bracha. Don't make a bracha until after davening is over. Because you should really wait until Misha Yakir. The lo yadain hakaras dalat amas. I mean, if it's not yet the time, you need to wait. So imagine your minion's over. You've been wearing your talis and your tefillin for 30 minutes already, but it's not Misha Yakir yet. You should really wait and then make the bracha. You should make the bracha. So that is a controversial tshuva, because basically what you're doing is that you're putting the mitzvah on before this man, and you're making the bracha when the time comes. And that's not so crazy, but what is clear is that Rav Moshe is talking about a very pressing situation. Meaning, he's saying, I don't want people to forget about tefillin and talis. I don't want these mitzvahs to be forgotten. He says, I don't want people to be accustomed to davening without talis and tefillin on. But to be precise, they're not saying Shemona Esrei at a time where they should be wearing talis and tefillin. They're davening Shemona Esrei before this time period known as Misha Yakir. So technically speaking, they shouldn't be wearing their tefillin and talis yet, but I don't want them to get in the hang of that. So we shouldn't be doing this. This should not become norm. Right? For shuls to adopt this tshuva and say, this is what we have to do. We're going to put our talis and tefillin like normal, and then after aleinu, we'll all make the bracha. If you need to, so Moshe's talitah, I don't know, whatever, the 1950s, or you know, who knows, whatever the shahs of time was.
1 year, 1974, I think.
Yeah.
Like where they kept daylight savings in the summer, so therefore, Nate Zahava was until 8:30.
Wow.
So therefore, that was a big problem.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Wow.
Fuel embargo.
I was too young to really go to shul all that much.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what they people did. I went to school. But, at 9 o'clock in school, people go to school in the fall. That's great. That's all of them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. But I was pointing out that people don't like relying on this. So I remember this was a practical issue with our kahila here, where people were kind of a little bit too comfortable relying on this. And some people spoke out against it. Like, this Ramosha is only an extreme case. We don't really do this. What is very normal is that people start davening to get the ball rolling. And before Yishtabach, they pause and put on their talis and the tefillin with the bracha. But in order to get the ball rolling, they at least start davening before Mishayak, and then they give a clap to put on their talis before Yishtabach. I think that's what we do here now. I think that's what is done. And that's much more mainstream and common, but I'm mistaken.
I don't think we're going to probably start the meeting in a few weeks.
What are you going
to do?
You're going to daven Shmona Esrei before Misha Yakir?
We've done that, and then we say the Brachat Asherah.
Right, so Rabbi Yudin and I, and our marker tonight, again, we've been talking about starting like a breakaway shul, like us three. So, we have to... whatever Rabbi Yudin says, we'll follow, and Marker says, I'll follow. That being said, this is a little bit of friendly background to keep these conversations peaceful and knowledgeable as we try to keep the Torah properly. Okay, so now let's go into the Shabbos Nachamu mode. There is another halacha in Hilchos Avelus. So here we go. Mishaba lo shmua shemes lo karv. So we didn't have cell phones all that long ago, and people would get the news about a lost relative whenever they got the news. So let's say you got the news that your relative died, one of your immediate relatives, that you'd have to sit shiva for. So if it's within the first 30 days, including day 30, that's called a shmua krova, a close news, imminent news. It's updated news. So therefore, you have to sit shiva, because you heard about the news within the 30 days. You have to sit shiva. However, if you only heard on day 31, that is a totally different halacha. That's called a shmua rechoka. And you would only have to kind of take a pause. You have to put your life on pause. Like if you're in the middle of work, you pause for a little bit. You know, appreciate, respect the deceased.
Kriya.
Yeah, there are other halachas involved, but they're different. They're very different. You're not sitting shiva. You're not doing a lot of the things that you would be doing if it was a shmua karova. So now the question is tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you hear a shmua rechoka, so it's without not being within the 30 days. You don't have to be no egdin avelus. You're not sitting a 7-week shiva, a 7-day shiva. But you need to what? Avalim ha'yulavush tefillin. You have to cut off, but you have to take them off. You have to take them. I'm sorry. You don't have to take them off. I think I cut it off by accident. The halacha is that if you are wearing tefillin, you are not obligated to take off your tefillin. That is the halacha. Meaning, whenever it's talking about a shmua rechoka, you're not obligated to take off your tefillin. That's the halacha. So now the question becomes on Tisha B'Av. So what's the story with Tisha B'Av? Would you call the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash a shmua karova, an update, or a shmua rechoka, something that happened more than 31 days ago?
Does it matter if you're calling it on Tisha B'Av or not?
What do you want to say? Very good.
Meaning, if it's on Tisha B'Av, maybe one could argue it would be a karova.
Oh, so very good. So before we get to that, Lamdus, the Pashup shot, though, is that the destruction that you heard about happened a very, very, very long time ago. And even though internally you have to make it feel real, but the Pashup shot literature answer would be that this is not news. This is something that we've known about quite some time ago. And therefore, we have to figure out why we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av morning. Because if you were to hear about a lost relative 31 days later, you still would not have to take off your tefillin. What's if Bayes is a... But you said it's tough phase, sif phase, right? But you said, did you say tough phase?
Yeah.
You don't have to take a shot.
Sif
ah, yeah, so you don't have to take your tefillin off if you hear. Yeah. If you hear a shmua rechoka, the halacha is, if you're in the middle of something, the ain tzarech lo atifas lo, you don't have to do all these things. And if you're in the middle of wearing your tefillin, he says, you don't have to take off your tefillin. That's the key line. So I just cut off a little bit too much. So the question begs itself. I don't understand. If you hear about a shmua rechoka, you don't have to take off your tefillin. So why do we take off a tefillin on Tisha B'Av?
The Rav says that there's a very difference between shmua rechoka and shmua krova.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You're right there. We're going to get to the Rav. But that's the implied question, that that in light of the fact that this is not like hot off the press news within, you know, 30 days, logic should have dictated that you should keep your tefillin on Tisha B'Av in the same way you'd keep your tefillin on if the relative died 31 days ago.
But you know, before you even get to what the Rav said,
yeah,
Tisha B'Av's going to come, unfortunately, it comes every single year.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't say that it's a Shmua Rechoka because it's on the calendar. It's coming. I mean, let's say last week.
So it's not, it didn't happen a long time ago.
So the Tisha B'Av this year,
very nice. It's not so different than what Kanaan was saying. You say because it's an update.
It's a new Tisha B'Av
every year.
It's still not Zochet to Binyan.
Mashiach officially didn't come this year.
So
and that is the update. That's very nice. Okay, that's a nice, I mean, bittersweet, but that's a nice shot. We'll get there also. So the Rambam actually writes in Hilchos Tainus Perakei and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, he writes a different idea. He actually writes that you wear your tefillin on Tisha B'Av, but there he says, Miktas achachamim no'agim shalal aniach bo tefillin b'rosh. You would wear your tefillin shal yad, but only not your tefillin shal rosh. And that's even weirder. So what's the deal with that? Why would someone make a distinction between the tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh? So the Rav was dealing with this Rambam. So the Rav, that's all, said, well, obviously, if you want to figure out the Rambam, you'd obviously know the Tosfos and Maseches Yevamos, Davnam Gimel on base. Like classic, the Rav. Comparing a halacha and a Rabbeinu Tam and Yevamos, so he says, do you know that there's an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and Yevamos that says, well, okay, there are three categories. It's true there's Avelos Yeshana and Yevesh Rechoka, Rechoka and Krova, but there's also a concept of Avelos Derabim, where it's not a personal loss, it's a communal loss. And the ultimate communal loss was the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. The Avelos of Yerushalayim is not like mourning a lost relative, it's the community's mourning. It's a communal effort to mourn. And you know what the idea there is that when it comes to business, Rabbeinu Tam says, imagine doing business in public on a day like Tisha B'Av, it would appear that you don't properly respect the Avelos on Yerushalayim. It's inappropriate. You're supposed to be mourning with the community. Community is mourning Yerushalayim, and you're going to work. It would appear that you could be connecting to the tzibur a little bit more than you are. So says the Rav, now we understand the Rambam. You're wearing your tefillin shal yad, that's private. That's private. It's between you and you. And in fact, that's what the Gemara says. What is the Torah called tefillin shal yad? It's supposed to be an os al yadecha, i.e., own an os for you, but not for achirim. There's something like private and intimate about you and your tefillin shal yad. In very severe contrast, what's your tefillin shal rosh? V'ro kol ame haaretz, right? V'yirim emekav, right? All the nations of the world will see the Jews wearing the tefillin on the rosh, and they'll be afraid of you, they'll be in awe of you, right? It's like this public display of honor, Jewish honor. And in fact, we know the Torah calls tefillin a pe'er, the splendor. So that's too much. It's Tisha B'Av. For you to wear like your crown, it looks like you're not really properly tapping in to the avelus of Tisha B'Av. And that's how the Rav explained the Rambam. That in the same way you don't want to go to work because it's like a public display of you not caring about Tisha B'Av, so too, wearing a tefillin shel rosh is a public demonstration that you're not in mourning. Wow. Now that's beautiful lumdus in the Rambam, but that is not what we do. We only wear tefillin in the afternoon. And the question is, why?
But that's Ikar Churban was.
So to strengthen the question, Rabbi Weintraub says, if anything, you should have only put on your tefillin in the morning, and then when the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire,
what? No, the Ikar Churban is the beginning of the day. Even though the fire is burning.
I misunderstood you. Yeah.
Number one, the first Beis HaMikdash was burning on the 7th through the 9th. The second one was the 9th through the 10th.
Okay.
But the Ikar burning is the day. It's in the sense of like Mikzvah Sayom Kukul. It's not Mikzvah Sayom. But the whole morning is the Tisha B'Av.
Uh-huh.
Once the afternoon comes, it's already a different,
mindset. Right. So the question is, why do we not wear tefillin in the morning, but we do it in the afternoon? So Mishabura quotes two reasons. One of them is almost identical to what Rabbi Weintraub just said, that by the afternoon, the fire was already set on the base of Mikdash, and there was Nechama there because the Midrash teaches us that instead of killing us, Hashem took out his wrath on the building. And that's Nechama. meaning as opposed to wiping us out, the building was taken into account. So that is the Gra's approach. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the second answer, V'yesh omrim, k'dei laharos nechama. We put on our tefillin in the afternoon to display nechama. And that's like the loaded line of the evening. How does tefillin display nechama? Meaning when we make this progression from, you know, Tisha B'Av night, which is, as the Ritva said, you know, it's like meto muto lefanav. It's like your dead relative is like lying in front of you, not even in the ground yet. And by the afternoon, we're in more of a place of nechama. And the halacha I spoke about on Tisha B'Av is that we only recite the tefillah of Nachem and Mincha, even though there are other poskim who say to recite it already by night, but we only, you know, assume the word nechama is appropriate Tisha B'Av afternoon. And for some reason, the halacha associates tefillin with nechama. And not only, look at the Aruch HaShulchan, so basically, the second answer of Mishnah Berurah is found in the Aruch HaShulchan as well. And the halacha is telling us that because we receive nechama in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, we could get up from the floor and sit on a bench. Tefillin is part of that nechama. It's a loaded line. What does that mean? What does that mean? That tefillin is nechama? Does anyone want to try to take a stab at that? How is tefillin related to the concept of nechama? Oh, what do you have, Ramon?
You said it's pe'er. You still have your pe'er, so you still have your Jewish honor.
Oh, right. Yeah, good. So we have to.
That's why you don't wear it to Havelis. That's how you can answer the question, like, how, if Havelis is Doug Rabbanit, how can you know we're killing? Answer as well. If you're in a state of not having a pe'er, then it's inappropriate to put on tefillin, even with your
right. Right. So the whole background of an Avel not wearing tefillin is based on the pasuk of right pe'ercha chabush alecha, right, when Hashem told Yechezkel not to observe Avelus, he said you keep your pe'er on, you keep your crown on, you keep your tefillin on, but everyone else can't keep their pe'er on. So I want to give a chiddush. Again, this is not supported by anyone or anything, so, you know, take it or leave it, but you know, we'll say b'derech drush. But here's my chiddush, that the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin writes as follows. You know who can't wear tefillin? A menuda u'mitzora asur m'hanech tefillin. Someone who's excommunicated, and a mitzora who's sent outside the malachana, they're not allowed to wear tefillin. So I thought that we don't, again, this is not pashup shah, but maybe the reason we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av, it's just a minug, after all. It's not like rooted so clearly, you know, where this minug comes from. But ultimately, and in fact, the Rambam even said, you know, his minug, that was only to wear the tefillin. Yeah, I mean, and the minug clearly, you know, has different forms. But perhaps you could argue that it's not a din in Hilchos Avelus. Perhaps the reason we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av is because we're comparing ourselves to those who are excommunicated. We're all considered to be in Nidur. We're in Cherem. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to have to do with us, right? We know that we don't say, right, Tiskabel and Kaddish. There are certain things that are, you know, the Parochas is removed. The Halacha is trying to demonstrate to us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is back. His back is turned to us, Kaviyachol. On Tisha B'Av night and Tisha B'Av morning. He's not interested in us. We're basically given the cold shoulder, and Hashem saying, I'm not happy with you children. You're in timeout, like literally. And in the afternoon, we put it back on. And the Gemara says that we know that Kaviyachol Hashem wears his tefillin. And in Hashem's tefillin, the Gemara Bracha says, it says, Umi ka'amcha Yisrael koyachar ba'aretz. It's this beautiful, intimate mitzvah displaying the unbreakable bond between us and Hashem. And that bond was not an appropriate thing to speak about when we're in a fight, Kaviyachol. You know, like you love your spouse. When you're in a fight, you're in a fight. And there's a time for that. You know, it's an amazing idea. I want to just point out that this Rav Arya Kaplan, you know, Baruch Hashem, what a gift the Rebbe Shalom gave us. So he brought very deep esoteric, Kabbalistic and halachic and, you know, whatever concepts into very simple English for like NCSY kids, right? So he gave the mashal of tefillin. He says, have you ever been truly loved? What if this person gave you a ring or a pin and asked you to wear it? Every time you looked at it or felt it on your finger, would it not remind you of this great love? He says, this bond always exists even when we do not deserve it. God is a father who loves his children even when they go astray. It's our duty, however, to strengthen this bond. So tefillin represents this like love relationship with us and Hashem, this unbreakable bond, but we were the ones who were unfaithful. And it makes sense for Hashem to say, you know what? there's a time here where your tefillin, you're not living up to that locket, to that love pin that we kind of committed to. But on Tisha B'Av afternoon, we get up and we reconcile those differences. You know, in Anam Zemiros, what do we say? We say, Pe'eiro alai uferi alav v'karov eili b'kari elav. And the Eitz Yosef explains that everyone in the Pashup Shad is that's a reference to tefillin, and even explicitly is about tefillin in the next sentence, right? So the idea is, Pe'eiro, the tefillin, so we wear, and Pe'eiri is also on Hashem. Hashem wears my Pe'er, right? Meaning we're so intimately involved with one another that his Pe'er is on me and my Pe'er is on him. And perhaps that's the Nechama of Tefillin that the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are alluding to. That on Tisha B'Av afternoon, we put our Tefillin on and we remind ourselves is that there's so much love here that we might have not felt this morning and last night. But it's unbreakable. It's unbreakable. And there's nothing better than the Tefillin to remind you of that. And, you know, when you think about Tisha B'Av, there are stories about the Holocaust survivors who smuggled in Tefillin. And or the survivors who didn't get to wear tefillin, and when they were finally released, they were so excited to get to wear tefillin again. I know Lieutenant Birnbaum writes that he was zoche to give the Klausenberger Rebbe zatzal tefillin, and he felt like such a cover to give his tefillin to the Klausenberger Rebbe, and it was such a simcha. And Rabbi Akiva was able to withstand all of that pain and torture until what? Until the spot on his head where the tefillin rests was taken from him, because as long as you have your tefillin, it's like your last lifeline. And Rabbi Akiva lost the ability of tefillin. You know, that's, well, literally, he was dying. But you could argue that the ultimate nechama is to know that the last landline, lifeline, the last connections we have with Hashem have not been severed. And the tefillin represents that, like, insurance policy, kiviyacho, that can't be broken. And we put on our tefillin, and remember, no matter how much we messed up, Hashem still wears his tefillin also and is invested in repairing our relationship. And we get to Shabbos Nachamu and we understand it's like the Shabbos of tefillin, right? You don't need your tefillin on Shabbos. But you remember that Hashem's invested in the relationship. We should be zocher to appreciate the message of the tefillin and realize that Hashem is just waiting for us to renew our vows with him, just like he has his tefillin on, representing his dedication to us.